as well. In October of last year. And at that time, we were just worshiping on in a Sunday evening context. And I remembered just being overwhelmed, you know, and being here with the sense of God's presence, just the sense of love and connection that we experienced in being with you. As we went back home, I kept on saying to myself, what is this? You know, what is Jacob's Well? I couldn't, you know, quite get my mind around in some picture, in some way, of what God was up to here. Have you ever felt that way about Jacob's Well? But the same thing happened when we were here in January, and then when I came in February. Since I've been here, one of the main things I felt I've been called to do is to listen and to kind of observe and just, you know, see and all the time just wondering, Lord, you know, I need a picture. I need some kind of way of looking at what you're doing here, because it seems to me unusual. It seems to me different than church. Can I say that? So recently, there were a group of friends that gathered here in May. Tim invited some friends from different places locally and also from out of town. And the discussion for these couple days together, so we kind of closed ourselves up in Tim's office, was the topic of missional ecclesiology. 2 days, Tim's office. Pretty exciting, huh? Could also be called relational ecclesiology, perhaps even radical ecclesiology. The word ecclesiology comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which is a word from which really church kind of comes out of the scripture. It means called out ones, those who are called together around Christ. And so this study was in a definition, a kind of dictionary definition. Ecclesiology is the study of the nature, constitution, and function of a church. I'm sure that's a great deal of help. But as I thought about metaphors, some of the things I wrestled with, I thought of, I'm a visual person. I try and think in terms of images. And I thought of, well, Jacob's Well is somewhat like, you know, a woods, you know, and there's clusters of trees, and the trees that are closest together, you know, their roots are entangled, and there's, you know, real closeness and intimacy, but they're connected to the woods, and then the woods and these other clusters of woods are all connected to the forest. That didn't do it. No, that didn't work. It's too static. Way too static. Not fluid enough. I thought about village, and I thought about Hillary Clinton and her book. What was her book entitled? It Takes a Village. And there's some images there that I think are helpful. In a community, what does a community look like? And what kind of spaces does a community require to be healthy? And so you think about institutions, but you think about spaces like spiritual space or sacred space, and then common space where people gather within the village, all kinds of relationships that exist within the village. Well, when we had this think tank gathering, Dwight Friesen, who is a young man in Seattle who's also a church planter, practitioner, is working on his doctorate. And he was one of the guys that brought some ideas from his work. And his work, by the way, these essays are online if any of you would like to investigate further. Here's one of the essays that I'm sure will, you know, pick your interest. You may want to write this down. It's called Scale-Free Network as a Structural Hermeneutic for Relational Ecclesiology. Did you write that down? So that's one of his papers that relate to this whole idea of his understanding of what church is about. And I was as clueless, even though I'd read his essays before he came, as you are probably in just hearing that title. Hermeneutic, by the way, is another Greek word that merely means interpretation or explanation of either a text or of life or a particular constitution, perhaps. What I want to do now is use some images this morning. And so I'm going to ask Jenny to throw up this first image. I use the word from Tim or from Dwight's essay, Scale-Free Networks. I don't know if any of you are familiar with network theory, random networks, scale-free networks. Well, he presented some ideas about the kingdom of God as a scale-free network. And just to talk briefly about the idea of networks, so maybe, you know, begins to have some visual way for you to relate to it. This is a picture of what's called a random network in kind of this image form. Now, the interesting thing about, I don't want to confuse you, but it confused me. The word random would appear to be a network that's random, you know, kind of confused and kind of not symmetrical or geometric. But really, in random theory, which, by the way, probably goes back to a Russian mathematician, Leonhard Euler, who at that point came up with the idea of network theory, network theory and random theory. But in random theory, everything is evenly spaced. Everything is, in a pure sense, is quite neat. And you notice the center node is, lines aren't showing up on this image. I don't know if you see these nodes here are all connected to other nodes. Can you see that? Just the image is not sharp enough to see if my little doodad laser. Does that work? This node is connected to these five nodes, and then this node is connected to four other nodes, and on it goes. There's this progression of connection, and no one node has any more connections than another node. It's all very, very kind of even and symmetrical. Somewhat like a pyramid scheme, you know? You know what pyramid schemes are about, where you're one person and you tell two friends, right? Have you ever gotten drawn into one of those? And then the two friends tell their two friends, and you're rich, right, at the end of the week. It's just this amazing thing. And mathematically and maybe geometrically or somehow it makes sense, but has anyone ever gotten risking this, rich by such a thing? Okay, maybe some. All right. Does this look anything like your life, by the way? Is your life patterned like this? When you think relationally and how you're connected to people? Not really, does it? It really doesn't. Now, this next picture we're going to show shows this side by side with an example of what is a scale-free network. And a scale-free network was something that came about fairly recently. In 1998, a physicist, Albert Laszlo Barabasi, I'm sure you're all familiar with that household name, working with Notre Dame and his colleagues there, they decided they were going to try and map the World Wide Web. Look at the World Wide Web, see how relationships worked and flowed, and when they expected that when they finished with the mapping of the internet, the World Wide Web, they would see a fairly random network, pretty even, you know, centers where really they may have had a little more connection than others, but more of this first picture here, although not as purely exponential as that one is, but fairly even. What they found, to their surprise, was something far more chaotic, far more fluid, and more even. They found a type of dynamic, self-determining, relational order. They found that it was uneven in terms of distribution of linkings. There were certain nodes that had tons of connections, hundreds, thousands of connections, and then other nodes that just had one or two. And so that's kind of what we have pictured for here. And they called it, Barabasi and his colleagues, a scale-free. In other words, the scale wasn't limited to just a certain number of nodes. A particular node, like that center red node there, has quite a lot of connections, whereas others are just straight line, one connection. There's others out here with fewer connections. They vary a great deal. And then they're also interconnected. And this is a fairly simple scale-free kind of network. So as Tim would say to you all now, is this making sense? Does this make sense to you? Not yet. Okay. Well, stay with me and we'll see what happens. Dwight, in talking about the kingdom of God as a scale-free network, talks about it in terms of something that's rather fluid. It's hard to get around. It's hard to control. And it's something that's very dynamic with a lot of fluctuation, a lot of life. And as a matter of fact, the chaos and dynamic of it and variedness of it is what adds to the spread and life of the kingdom. In Matthew 13, when Jesus was talking about metaphors, pictures, how do we talk about the kingdom of God? He said this in verse 33 of Matthew 13. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So you have this image of the kingdom starting out in a small amount, but eventually permeating and spreading out in a life-giving way to all of the flour or to all of the world. What I want to do now is show you a movie, a little bit of a movie. I want to thank Beth Mercer, by the way, for helping me with this. And but before I show the movie, I want to set it up with some other scripture in terms of the New Testament, especially in thinking about the growth of the kingdom or the moving out of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus leaving. This is another thing about scale-free networks. It's not dependent on a hierarchical structure with a leader without which you couldn't function. It's interesting that Jesus here in Acts 1 is leaving. Talk about chaos. He's leaving, actually physically, and he's going to send his spirit. He's not abandoning them, but he's saying to them, gentlemen and ladies, and there would have been a fairly good number of people at his ascension, I imagine, at least 120 who were gathered together during the time of the resurrection and ascension. And he said, you're going to be all right. This is a chaotic thing. It's a little crazy. You don't have a plan, do you? Peter, you got a plan? Mary, do you have a plan? Is there a strategy for what you're going to do? And he said things like this as he left them. He said, now, don't be worried about other things, and they're asking questions about political things. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. At Pentecost, which we've talked about a little bit this spring, everyone there was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages, and they were called together in the name of Christ to receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. And it says those who believed that day added to the church were about 3,000 in all. And then as you go through the book of Acts, there's this continual roll of the movement of the Spirit of God moving out into the world through these connections that the Holy Spirit makes in hearts and then makes together with the ecclesia or the church. They joined with other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. And all the believers met together constantly, shared everything they had. You get this picture of shared life. Meeting in homes, meeting in common places, in the temple, but also maybe in the workplace or the marketplace. But they met and they shared life. It says they sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And this is a sense that whatever's happening here relationally as it moves out into the world is happening in the world. That the kingdom of God is something beyond our gatherings. It's something that happens through our lives by the Holy Spirit in the world, places that we are called to. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. They had one heart and mind and this continual flow. Finally, the church has moved out of Jerusalem. We find later in chapter, somewhere around 11, 12, or 13. There was persecution that came to the church in Jerusalem, and it says that there was a movement out of Jerusalem toward Syria, Antioch. And many of the Jews that were moved there by persecution, Christians, Jews who were followers of Jesus, didn't share with the Gentiles. But there were some determined to share with the Gentiles. And all of a sudden in Syria, Antioch, we have this moving out of the Spirit of God, the spread of the kingdom, the growing of the church by this again, movement of the Holy Spirit. And now it begins to impact the Gentile world in a very serious way. It took some time. This is a number of years down the road. You can read Acts, and it appears like it's all happening in a week or a month or a year, but there's a good number of years that are involved bringing the church to that point. Think of the yeast. Think of the call of Jesus that they, the church, would ripple out into the world. Think of scale-free networks, which, you know, how that fits perfectly into this. Watch these images. Now, those are all images, and we'll show up that last image of scale-free networks. And some of them, like this one that we're going to put up in a moment, is a picture of really the World Wide Web and how it's connecting around the world in the ways that it does. And this is a part of what Barabasi was doing in trying to map the internet. The only problem with showing static pictures, and at the end of what I'm sharing, we're going to see a picture that kind of moves, and you'll see the motion of it. But what this, I think, pictures, at least for me, is the fact that the life of God in the church is something that is living and moving and fluid and very relational. And it isn't meant for something to be kept, but something instead to be shared. And you'll notice that there's all these centers kind of that are around this particular picture. And at the center of those kind of bright places, you'll have hubs. And the brighter the hub, the more links you have going in there. And also around those places, you'll also, again, see smaller linkings as well, singular threads as well. But all of it, again, is something that is very relational, very self-determining. And as a picture of the kingdom of God, I don't know, it's helped me to kind of envision what Jacob's Well is about. And you're all looking at me. So it's taken me a while to get the image and make the connection with the church. And it may take you some time as well to do that. But Jacob's Well is a part of the kingdom. It isn't the whole kingdom, but it's a section of the kingdom. There's an explosion of the life of God that happened through other connections, through other what Dwight Friesen would call Christ clusters, like Heartland, and other communities that we flowed from to come and to begin to gather in this place called Jacob's Well. These gatherings, also another term that can be used for large gatherings of Christ followers, is the term commons. You all know what a commons is? so that some of these very bright areas could be considered clustering of clusters around Christ. And when you have a bunch of them together, it kind of could be called a commons. Have you been to Boston? You know what Boston Commons is? Okay, it's a beautiful, big, is it square, Laura? Yeah, well, it's big and it's rectangular. And it's usually a buzzing place with lots of activity. A commons in a village or in a town or a city is a place where people more often than not connect with other people. It is a lot of clusters from different parts of the village, and gathering in a commons, they meet, share life, make other connections, other relationships happen. And again, it's very fluid, so maybe new relationships happen, and someone who is clustered with this group of people meets other people, and they get connected there. It's very, very fluid. Now, Jacob's Well perhaps is a commons. A lot of you come and you are clustered with others of faith around Christ. Some of those clusters might be you're connected with another church, another ministry. You might be in a small group that isn't connected directly to what's going on here at Jacob's Well. Some of you in those places, right? Some of you are connected in home groups within Jacob's Well kind of infrastructure. Some of you are connected here by ministry connections. Again, they could be in the community or they could be right here. Could be children's ministry. Hi, Phil. Could be ESL. Hi, Phil. But we cluster in different ways, in different relationships, and in multiple clusters. We're going to do something now, I think, that is going to require some craziness. And you don't know how to weave. You don't have to know how to knit or crochet. But I need for all of you to enter into the message a bit. And I want you to right now create some chaos by finding some people in this room, balcony, or wherever that you connect with here. It could be your group of friends that are here. Maybe you're here with your family. Maybe you're in a home group. I want you to stand up. Everyone stand up. Humor me. Maybe you're with a music team. Okay? Look around. Gather with. Get connected somehow with those people, please. Where are you getting going?
Huh?
Where are you going?
I'm not sure yet. 20-25. What do the people do that?
Okay, I need you. All right, how are we doing? Okay. If you are visiting, that's fine. You're still a part of this whole web. What I need for you to do now, listen just for a moment. I need you to look at your gathering and say, who is right now, in the moment of your grouping, who is the not leader, but kind of the leader, the one who maybe has seemingly the most influence? Here's what I want you to do. And I'm looking at, let me see, Philip? Okay, do you have a gathering back there? Okay, would you stand up on the pew? Okay, would somebody toss this back to my brother? All right. Now, Philip, I want you to connect the yarn, not around your neck, but to your body, high, and then connect it around your ESL partners or anybody else that you're connected with there. Could be your IG group. But I want you to then throw it to somebody. Wait a minute, listen to me. I want you to throw it to somebody that you know and are connected to. Okay, now wait a minute before you start throwing. I want others of you in your groups to have the appointed for now leader to stand up. Steve Jernigan. Okay, that's off. Okay, leaders of your groups, stand up. Jeff, stand up. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, now, I want you to start connecting with this yarn and see what happens. Connect all the people in your group. Connect everybody in your group before you throw it. David? David? Michael? Michael? Hey, Mike? Okay, do this. Here you go, Jim.
Oh.
Start your group. Again, if you're once you've bound up your group, toss your ball to somebody you know. The people in the balcony, you can also throw yours down here if you know somebody. Keep the line going. Okay, how are we doing? Now what I want you to do is to begin to, again, you can throw back to people you know, people around you. Another couple minutes. Okay, let's hold up for a minute. What I want you to do, if you see people around you that are not like that are visiting, and I want you to kind of entwine them, you know, bring them into your circle, re-entwine them with you in some way. I don't want anybody not to be entwined. Everybody needs to be entwined. Everybody. So if you have a ball, anybody have a ball that's not moving? Okay. Make sure people around you are entwined. Okay. Is there anyone not yet connected? Everyone's connected. Get them, Philip, get them all connected. Everybody's connected in the balcony. Hey, Todd. Everybody connected? Are you connected, Kathy? Okay. All right. Okay, if you're... Okay, can I have your attention? See what happens when you create chaos? Isn't it fun? You have no idea what's going to happen. If you're a leader, just kind of hold your webs around you high, if you can hold them up fairly high. Okay. So that we can see these. I mean, it'd be really nice if these were fluorescent and we were in the dark, but... Now, listen up for a second. You know, this is a fairly complicated mess, isn't it? It's a wonderful mess. But you know what? The kingdom of God gets messier. It gets messier because you know what's not included in the web of our lives and the web of the kingdom? All those people we were talking about, like those groups you're a part of, those ministries you're a part of that are not here this morning. We're not all here with our family. We're not all here with the people we work with. We live in public spaces that aren't represented here. We live in social spaces that are not represented here. We live in personal spaces that are not represented here. We live in intimate space that isn't represented here. It's incredibly complex, our lives, and I think the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is about connection. It's about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if that's not about connection, then I don't know what is connection. We are made in the image of the triune God, and we are made at our core to be in community, to be connected, to be linking with one another, and beyond ourselves, certainly to the world. It isn't something that happens by program. This is a very hard thing to program. And so in a sense, we all carry with us the life of Jesus in us and in that irresistible urge to connect with people. And we have the wonderful joy of seeing him as he's kind of webbing us together in this very fluid, very dynamic thing called the kingdom of God. And in the midst of all this yarning, God changes lives. I'm changed. You're changed. Our community hopefully is impacted and changed. It's a powerful web. It's a powerful, incredible thing. One other thing that makes this confusing, those of you who are leaders right now in your particular place, if we did this in a month, this would look different. If we did this in a year, it'd look very different. If we had done this 2 years ago, it'd be incredibly different. It's fluid. It's not meant to be static. And sometimes chaos in our lives and chaos in the kingdom brings about shifts that bring about life. Chaos is not, in the kingdom of God, a bad thing when we are submitted to the Spirit of God. Well, try and sit down or get untangled a little bit here, because we have to do communion. I also, by the way, don't worry about... if you can save some of this for me, I have to do this again tonight. So I have one last image I want to show you. Again, we're going to be doing communion. So speaking of chaos, I didn't really think of this.
But undone.
You can't get undone from the kingdom, sorry. Lacey, would you go get some scissors? And what we'll do at least is cut these cross the aisle ones and maybe the balcony ones so that we don't get tripped up. So as a matter of fact, maybe when we come up for communion today go through the pews, we'll be a little more careful with each other, watchful for each other's step, so that no one is hurt. Now, the interesting thing, I want to say one other thing before I read Ephesians 3 and show one last image. And that is that also the size of Christ clusters, or these clusters in a scale-free network, fluctuate. So a cluster that you were a part of may get really grow and expand in different ways and kind of be a key hub area where people connect. But you know what? In a few months or a year again, in time, it may shrink. In this idea of the kingdom, that's not a bad thing, because those who are a part of you for a season are reconnected. They're going elsewhere. The influence of the Spirit of God continues. And if they've moved on to another Christ cluster outside of the commons of Jacob's Well, it's a good thing. You hear me? We don't own the kingdom. It's not ours. We don't control the kingdom. I hear the words of Jesus when he said, I will. I will. He said a lot of I will, so I'm kind of about the church. I will. What? My church. I will build my church. I will, Jesus said, build my church. Who said it? Jesus said it. I will build my church. I will. It's not you or me. We have this incredible joy of being a part of it. And these hubs and these clusters will change. And that's fine. That's good. Let the chaos as things change. I pray that it becomes other clusters and other linkings and other connections. Here's one other thing I want to say. If you are not a part of a cluster, and maybe today you weren't linked greatly here, weak links, smaller links, are found to be in scale-free networks, critical to the health of the overall network. The small connections and links that happen outside of the clustering or the group setting are significant to the health of the overall commons or church or Christ clusters. As a matter of fact, when you have a cluster that gets out there on its own, like you saw some of those that were on the edge, you don't see them here so much, but if you get a bright cluster that's growing and it's out there on the edge by itself, and there's not many other ties to the kingdom, it's a dangerous place, potentially risky. It is the place most at risk. So when we cluster together here and we have lots of relationship, not only here at Jacob's Well, but in this community with other places of Christ faith, other people, even I would say other religious faith, friendship, connections in that way, in our life and in our world, I think we strengthen the kingdom of God. We add to the wealth of what Jesus would want to teach and do in our midst. It's pretty messy, isn't it? We're going to show this last little image, and I'm going to read from Ephesians where Paul is praying for the church. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with the light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. Pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to your table, we praise you and thank you that you, God, are the triune God. You have pursued us. You are the ultimate reconciler, connector, redeemer, savior, friend, lover. We thank you for your passion to connect us together with your kingdom, with your life, with your goodness. Lord, help us to reflect on the power of that Help us to reflect on maybe some of the issues related to being Christ clusters or people who are in the spirit of Jesus, connectors and linking with others. We simply thank you that we are connected and that we can be used to reach out and connect in the love of Jesus with others. We ask your grace and help to do that, and even, Lord, at times being willing to enter into chaos to see your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.